Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray that we will be able to stand under your word, may your word be authoritative, and not we ourselves. Now, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. We pray this through Jesus, who is our rock and redeemer, and all of God's people say. The scripture lesson for the sermon today comes from Philippians chapter 1. And yes, I get to practice this because this is the same sermon I'm going to be preaching in short order at Christ Covenant Granbury. Thank you, by the way, for your prayers for Christ Covenant. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will, even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Thus far, the reading of God's word, and all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated. In our passage today, we're going to see differences among Christians floating right there on the surface. Even different approaches to the preaching of Christ. The Christian church is quite skilled in taking sides. The Reformed Protestant church is no exception. She has a special skill set in this as well. These are not nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, or computer hacking skills. These are the skills of taking sides and pointing out the wrongness over there and in them. You have heard that it was said, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. Perhaps you've heard that it was said, I am of Rushdoony, I am of Bonson, I am of Klein. I am of Wilson, I am of Lightheart, I am of Jordan, I am of Bunyan, I am of social media. Or I am of free will. Or I am of predetermination. I am of the continuing operations of the Spirit. I am not. Or, what are you reading? Who are you following? Did you see the latest from? Do you have the right friends? Are you of the right political party? Which news feed do you follow? Christians, as those who care for the truth, we tend to have issues with that which is not true, even with people who we think are not of the truth. Christians who love the aughts sometimes have trouble with those who don't do what we think they ought to do, or think the way we think they ought to think, or see things the way we think they ought to see things. This is not to deny the antithesis. Heaven and hell, Christ and the devil. Yes, there is right and wrong, wisdom and foolishness, holiness and sinfulness, good guys and bad guys, the right side and the wrong side of town. Hang on, slipping. Do we slice the pie and the people? Do we disguise our divisiveness under the cloak of being right? In much of this, I fear we may lack grace. It's the old bumper sticker, grace for me, but not for thee. It is possible to be fixated on our own progress and our own present moment. However, go ahead and look back to your own days gone by. Remember when there were changes in your own lives and practices? For us, we can be quick to label that as growth. Yet, when others are not quite where we are, or where we think they ought to be, we may have the tendency to label them as stagnant, misguided, wrong. Anyone who has sprung from one tradition or series of practices to another has to be careful of despising those old days and all of those less enlightened folks who are still over there on the other side, wallowing in their wrongness. Have you not read Ecclesiastes 7, verse 16? Do not be excessively righteous. Do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself? Perhaps we are a little too skilled with friendly fire when we tend to shoot at those who are on our own team, those closest to us. We'll do this in our own families, our own church families, in our own denominational traditions. This gives a whiff or comes dangerously close to that Messiah complex. If you're not with us, you're against us. Some perhaps think that being a Protestant is defined more by what we protest against. Conflicts and disagreements happen. People are different. And they think differently, even than you do. They have different experiences. They have different opinions. They go about things differently. And each one of us is a work in process. Again, in our passage today, we will see differences among Christians floating right there on the surface. Is it possible that there are even different approaches to the preaching of Christ? Is that really even preaching of Christ? This is all among those who profess the name of Christ. And we would do well to pay attention. Proverbs chapter 20. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool can quarrel. So take a look. Even as I still learn from those who are in prison, I continue to learn from Paul's prison epistle. Paul is imprisoned. The gospel is not. Paul is on the shelf. He is unaware of his future. He may even be facing death. Yet Christ, who has died, is more active than ever. With or without you, to Paul. Paul is not writing from some pit of pity or swimming in a slough of despond. Paul writes from the perspective of the Lord, who is working out all things according to his plan, even if it is not the way he or I or me or you would have done it. Paul gives us gospel lenses as well as some lens wipes, so that we can look through new eyes and see perhaps what the Lord might be doing regardless of us. And I do. You are nothing. Paul teaches us how to experience trials. His situation is likely worse than ours. So let's take a peek and let's take a little walk. Verse 12. Paul points out that the Lord is still being honored while he is in prison. It has even turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Walk in those shoes. Verse 13, he says that word of his imprisonment has become well known throughout the whole Roman Praetorian Guard. And verse 14, others now have more boldness to speak the word of God without fear. Okay, we read that, we read that, we've heard that. All right, so some good stuff is happening, even though he has become Mr. Paul in prison. However, there's more. Somehow, Paul heard that there were different preachers out there in the free world, and that they were, well, different. Paul then summarizes, in a sense, two groups of preachers. And I'm just going to rattle this down. If you had two columns, some in verse 15 are preaching from envy and strife. Some, Paul says, from goodwill. In verse 16, he says, those who are preaching from goodwill do so out of love. Verse 17, Paul says, those who are preaching out of envy and strife are preaching out of selfish ambition. They don't have pure motives, and they aim to cause distress to Paul. What's your motive? To get underneath his toenails and throw some dust in the air. So in verse 18, Paul says that those who preach out of envy and strife are preaching in pretense. What is that? That's a cloak. It's to give the appearance of something. It's shrouded. They're preaching out of pretense. But Paul says that the others, those who preach from goodwill and love, are preaching in the truth. Corner. Good job. What happens? All right. I don't know about you, but as someone who has heard a lot of preachers, received a lot of sermons, who has heard some really good sermons and some other sermons that made me scratch my head. I have also, for the entirety of, or for parts of 5 decades, offered a lot of sermons. Many of them have been very good. I've wondered about my own tendency to write off, to condemn, to go all social media on those who, in my view, are messing things up. Those other vile dog creatures, certainly not of our tradition, not of our group. Usually about there, but sometimes it gets a little close. Paul amazingly does not write them off. Paul does not say, you know what? They're not just wrong. They're doing it in the wrong way. Paul asks this wonderful question in verse 18. What then? Different preachers, going about it in different ways. What then? How's Paul going to conclude? Look at verse 18. What then? Only that in every way Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Oh, by the way, yes, I'm going to rejoice. When he started this whole thing about the two different kinds of preachers in verse 15, he says, these are still preaching Christ. Some preach Christ out of envy and strife. Others out of love. Thus the title of this sermon, Christ is still proclaimed either way. Now, this may rub our fur in the wrong direction. We might be, I'm not quite there. Right, welcome to the Word of God. Right. This may rub us in the wrong way if we are accustomed to being the gatekeepers, the pursuers and the protectors of the right and narrow way. We can get all hot and bothered by Paul's approach and opinion about these others who are not doing it in the right way. We may wonder, has Paul gone lame? Or to use a C.S. Lewis phrase, has he become soft soap? I'm going to start something like a conclusion. Paul is in prison. And there's the real possibility that he may soon face death. If he were to die, that means he would be out of the picture entirely. And with that possibility, and with the reality that he's been placed on the sidelines, he has already died to himself and his service and what he can offer out there. If I never preach another day in my life, Church of Jesus Christ of the Just. Paul has come to see that the gospel proclamation of Christ is not dependent upon him, his activity, his service. This is a good place to be. One could say Paul has gotten over himself. This is not a Paulocentric universe. The gospel does not depend upon my proclamation. Can you say Balaam's ass? The gospel does not depend upon my preaching, my involvement, my strategy, even my opposition to those who, in my opinion, are doing things all wrong. What if I had never been born? Would the gospel then fall to the ground? What if I was not in the equation? Would the church come grinding to a halt? What if there are people who, like us in the past, didn't get it, didn't understand, went forward, and Christ still uses people like that to accomplish his purposes? Maybe the Lord is in charge, and I'm not. This is a wonderful example of Paul not preaching himself or his agenda. This is not about the proclamation of a particular preacher or his vision, but rather the proclamation of Christ. This is not about any particular preacher getting everything just right in content or in conveyance, because that's not possible. It's rather to point to the one who got it all right already. This is not about the exaltation of Paul, but about the exaltation of Christ. Whether by life or by death, verse 20, Protestant does not primarily mean to protest, means to testify for, pro-testify. We are to be known by that which we testify of and for, particularly the person. This has been all twisted around. In our tradition, we need to learn this, live here, and love this. We are known by the one of whom we testify. Your congregation prayed for local churches. The congregation in Granbury prays for local churches. It's not all about us. Not all about you. This experience, this trial, in prison, difficulties out there, has trained Paul for his future engagement with two ladies in the church, named Euodia and Syntyche. They're not getting along. Well, if Paul can be this way, knowing of Christ's sovereign control over preachers, Paul can now go to these two ladies and go, you know, Clement, I need your help. Euodia and Syntyche, this is not the way you want Christ. So, there we are. Christ is still proclaimed either way, and this, and I offer this to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.